Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to All Things Therapy. I'm your host, Lisa Tahir. I am a licensed clinical social worker. I practice as an intuitive psychotherapist. I'm EMDR certified and a Reiki level 2 practitioner. I have physical offices in both Los Angeles and New Orleans, and I work with clients worldwide via Skype, FaceTime, and over the phone. So if you want to book a session with me or ask for more information, you can contact me through my website, which is nolatherapy.com, the abbreviation for New Orleans, Los Angeles Therapy. And if you want to be a guest or advertise on the show, please reach out to me there also. And you can find this show on YouTube also, and soon to be on iTunes as well. So I want to introduce my guest today. This is her third time with us on the show, and we'll be having her back on again in November before the holidays. I am with Amadeus. She is a trained astrologer, a clairvoyant artist, a medical intuitive, and as we meet today for our third time, we're going to discuss current patterns and several things in particular, including the Lion's Gate Portal, which is an astrological alignment that culminated earlier this week on August 8th. And we're going to talk about some other things going on regarding Saturn going direct and what that means for each sign, and health related to Virgo and Chiron. So here we go. Amadeus, come on. Hey.
I'm on. Hello. Thank you for having me back again.
Thank you for being on again. Where are we starting today? I know we have a lot to talk about.
We do. You know, it was interesting. You know me. I was sleuthing, you know, what wanted to be spoken about today. And I thought there's going to be like one or two things, but I think there are many different things to talk about. And I'm very excited to go on this journey with you, as we've done the past few times.
Me too.
So, one thing, I feel that from the last time that we spoke, there's a little more light and energy in the universe right now, which feels really good. I can feel it right now. I feel it, you know, in my clients, and we are in the time of Leo, which is a time of coming from the heart and shining the light, and it's summer and having fun. And I think last time we spoke, people were pretty much mired in a lot of stuff.
Yes, that was the case.
Yeah, and some of that stuff's still here, and we'll talk about that. But overall, it's a little bit of a lighter, brighter time. And due to the date that we decided to have the show, I realized that we're in a time of a portal that you mentioned called the Lion's Gate. This happens every year somewhere around this time of year. I think it began this year around July 26th. It hit exact, and it does always on August 8th. Of this year, which was a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And it closes, we call it closing, on August 12th. So this portal is always a fascinating time, and I feel that people really feel it, whether they understand astrology or really care about anything going on up there in the stars. Sometimes they associate it with summer or having fun or feeling lighter or thinking about what they want to do with their lives in a somewhat more positive frame. But it has a lot to do with the manifesting energies and the number 8. If we know anything about numerology, you know, the number 8 has a lot to do with manifesting and abundance, you know, the infinity sign. And so this time period in this portal, it opens us up to what we can manifest from our heart. You know, a lot of people say, and I agree with this, that it opens us up to certain light codes from the grand central sun of our universe, and it connects with us to transform our lives, open up our heart center, which Leo is concerned with, so that we emanate more shine or more light. The Lionsgate also connects with the star Sirius, and it comes closer and closer during this time period and aligns with Orion and syncs up with the pyramid. So for many, 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 many years and thousands of years, there's been an association with some kind of abundance or manifesting energy around this space.
And isn't it also the planetary new year, as it was celebrated by the ancient Egyptians and Mayans as well?
Because it is.
Because of everything aligning in the way that it is right
now. Absolutely. And I remember, you know, before I knew anything about astrology, in fact, I'm just remembering this now, you know, watching some programs on, I don't know, what would be the somewhat paranormal / National Geographic type TV shows, and being fascinated by, you know, how the pyramids were lining up with the stars, and people way back when knew something about this kind of energy coming into our planet, or onto our planet, and into our souls. So another way to say is that we're downloading some of the cosmic consciousness, and this helps us upgrade our system, receive more love, receive more ability to connect with our inner truth and our own self-love, so that we can manifest through the heart. We are very concerned with the heart and manifestation, and really, you know, when we say coming from the heart, speaking your truth from the heart, this is very Leo-type energy. So this download helps us open up to that and ask the question, what will you personally create from love and then emanate out and shine that in the world? It's a very powerful type of year.
It is a powerful time of year, and I have felt this week since Monday just like something really big's about to happen, and just kind of excited and not knowing why. And when I started to read about this portal, it spoke exactly of that it's an activation through this portal, a doorway that's happening with new beginnings and frequencies related to creativity and people that are really sensitive and in touch to this, that, you know, the emotions of fear and uncertainty and such can be translated at this time into a call to work, like a call to work. How can we help? What can we do? And I've been feeling that before I even read that's what this portal is about.
Yeah, I've been tracking this for a while, you know, for, I don't know, maybe a decade, just kind of tuning in to see what people, friends say that don't know anything about astrology and not talking about it. If during this time of year, they sort of have that feeling that something great's coming, that, you know, they've felt their fears, they've, you know, plumbed some depths, but have this sense that it can be transformed and something new can be coming forth, you know, from their heart centers. I really actually think most people feel this if they really thought about it or tracked their dreams over this time period. And fear is definitely something I forgot to mention. I have a whole little chapter here because any of my clients know who are listening, I take copious notes. Things. And I had a whole discussion about fear because these light codes really do help amp up and transform ancient patterns, let's say ancient karma, ancient fears, and fine-tune ourselves back to that self that knows why we're here and what we want to be giving forth, you know, and creatively expressing in the world. Another way to say it is that we are, you know, given this ancient knowledge that the stars have given us to our hearts to stir our inner knowing again. So it's a time of stirring our inner knowing. It's another way to say it. And to help change ourselves, you know, I think I talked about this before. I don't know if I want to say believer, because I usually say I'm a knower for myself, that our cells are changing from carbon into crystalline and light receptors. And during this particular download of a large amount of light, it helps in that process. So that, you know, we can evolve, we can, in whatever way you look at evolution, whether that's physically, spiritually, or together, to ascend, you know, and be able to shine forth more light. Some people say it, you know, another way to say it, you know, is it's activating our third eye, and we're getting in touch with our knowing and our source to create outer abundance, but from within. You know,
from within.
First we have to get in touch with our own inner abundance and our own truth, and then we can manifest that into some tangible form out in the world.
Yeah, very cool.
Sorry, that cell phone delay. there's also an energy with this that has us starting to look toward the future. You know,
okay.
Earlier in the summer, you know, during the time of cancer and home and hearth. And, you know, we're a little closer to home, so to speak. But this energy starts pushing us toward the future and illuminating a potential to move toward our heart-centered goals. All different ways of sort of saying the same thing, that our, you know, that our cells are awakening to our highest potential of love. And yes, in transforming fear, I was going to give a little blurb about that, about fear right now, if that is helpful.
Please, it is.
Okay. I think that, you know, we are all going through our own processes of dealing with fear. But lately, so many of my clients, and, you know, myself included, have had these, you know, large bouts of fears, somewhat ancient fears, fears that, you know, you feel you've left behind, and here they're roaring their ugly heads again, and yet with a sense that they don't have to imprison us as much. And I sort of want to say that I think I talked about this sort of massive pendulum swing going on. I keep talking about it to my clients.
Right.
So evident out in the political arena or out in the arena of, you know, very disturbing events happening out there. And, you know, it's serving on the outside for our insides to bring, you know, an ultimate balance between dark and light, male and female, but it really looks like, you know, ugly, rearing gargoyle heads. And so within, I feel that many people are going through the same process of what they see outside themselves, you know, in the political arena or in shootings and disturbing racial incidents. So within, you know, the ugly shadows seem to be rearing their heads, things that they thought they'd gotten over. And yet there's this exuberance just underneath that maybe it can be changed. Maybe it really can be blown up and inner balance and return to love can happen. And so this particular Lionsgate portal, I think, has helped a lot with that.
So is there something, Amadeus, that, like a couple nights ago, I just jotted down some things that I'd like to manifest. Is there something you suggest that people might do to really take advantage of these energies being at a high to help with manifestation?
Yeah, I would say, well, there was a new moon, and, you know, new moon, that was on August 2nd. It was just enough in that to ask in a few things. But yeah, around the new moon, if we can go back and harness, I'm not a stickler for that you have to manifest things particularly right at the new moon. But using the energy of this light frequency, I'd say tonight is one of, tomorrow the portal closes, so I'd say if anyone listening tonight really can open up their heart, take out a pen if that works, sit in meditation, stare at something beautiful, whatever your thing is, to get centered. I'd say that tonight is an amazing night to ask in, you know, a higher knowing and a higher source to manifest through your heart center, you know, your own higher source. And tonight, I think I told you I was going to talk about this. I thought this was so amazing because the perceived meteor showers are happening. And tonight,
yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, they're really cool. I've gone out to try to see them so many times. I think maybe I've seen one.
Okay.
Because I've lived in the city, but I'm a little further out right now, so I have a strong intention to go see them. But they happen around this time of year, and tonight between 11 and 4:30 a.m., I'm pretty sure that's the correct time after our time zone, one should go out and go look at them. And what happens during this time of year is that the Earth goes through this trail of gunk sort of left by the orbit of a comet, and streaks of light and shooting stars come out, and it's a really, really beautiful phenomenon. And I'd say matched with this portal that we're going through, that this is an excellent time tonight to make some wishes, to really go through your most heartfelt, joyful goals. So I'm always a big proponent to write something down.
Mm-hmm.
It helps focus your attention.
Me too.
And I would sit outside in the night sky and allow your heart to be moved to the highest light vibration, is the way I put it. You know, there's other times for plumbing and release, and we'll have some of that. We're moving into Virgo. But right now, I'd say go for your highest heart-centered goals and have an element of creative expression and joy, you know?
Yeah.
So tonight, I would say, great night to bring in that energy.
Okay, good.
You know, and release something external in the heavens, replicating what can be going on within, you know?
Yeah.
A meteor shower of light coming out from our heart during this time.
That's great.
That's not too far out, but I tend to talk a bit far out.
I think all these techniques and such can be helpful. I suggest to my clients as well, the ones that are open, which most of my clients are. And, you know, it's just kind of like a step beyond journaling, or in that same vein, I think, to write down on a particular night where energy is working with you, to just kind of move along what it is you'd like to let go of and what you want to replace it with. And so I think what you're saying is really in tune with how I work as well.
I love that you do that. Yeah, I realized a while ago, it doesn't really matter whether you believe in something. It's just showing up. It's why we have a holiday, even if we groan about a holiday. You know, putting focused energy, why we make an appointment, you know? The energy focuses, so when you decide to do something, take out a piece of paper, write something down, burn it, or send off your thoughts to the universe and move your hands up toward the air, whatever you do, you're giving focused attention, and your body recognizes that. So,
yeah,
it's helpful. It doesn't have to be dogmatic and it doesn't
exactly. I know before we came live on the air, there were a few topics regarding Saturn going direct, regarding the work mm-hmm. you've been doing, speaking to mm-hmm. loved ones who have crossed over. So what yes. direction it feels like a natural progression for you?
I think let's talk about Saturn. And right before I do, I'm just going to say that even more Leonine energy occurred because we had a new moon in Leo on August 2nd, and it was close to Saturn. So it was this new moon. I'm just going to quickly say it because it's a great segue to Saturn.
Yeah.
You know, as I said, Leo is where we shine, where we connect through our heart to radiate out our authentic creative expression, where we come from joy and see manifestation of that in the world. So this new moon was giving us new seeds to embrace our inner shine, to show your light, not hide it anymore. But it was set close to Saturn, which is the planet of, you know, lessons and a little bit of a taskmaster, you know, the authority figure that says you must do this step by step and somewhat seriously. And
yeah.
So it added a flavor of seriousness about what you're going to shine. And it was also conjunct Antares or the Bethlehem star. So a lot of serious stuff about light and dark and will you choose your light is going on right
yeah.
now. And can you accept your whole self and shine all of this from love, okay? So the last new moon, where it's always a playful one in Leo, made it a little bit more like our inner child is having fun, but had to be a little bit more responsible for what we're creating and shining. And I've seen that with my clients, a little bit more serious about the things they want to create, which turns me to Saturn, the planet
okay.
of seriousness. And where we get tested and we have, you know, limits put upon us, and as we overcome them, we actually create more structure and order and authority in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So Saturn has been in Sagittarius, but it's been retrograde, I think, since the end of March.
Okay.
So it's stationing, which is a big deal when one of these big outer planets, you know, stations, we start to feel a change even if we don't know where it's coming from. And I think that's part of where everybody's joyful, but getting a little bit serious. At least I've seen that in my clients, knowing that something big's coming, some new goal, some new idea, something new they want to create. And so when it goes direct on the 13th, what happens is, you know, it's a slow station, but what happens is everything during a retrograde, you know, we redo. So wherever Saturn was, you know, whatever house it was in, we were now sort of pulled back, and we were redoing it, rethinking that forward step-by-step progress, okay? Saturn and Sagittarius ask us to seek the truth, to stand in our authenticity and our authority. And you know, it during retrograde, it had us on hold a bit with this, reviewing this, okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
A little bit? Okay.
Yeah.
So we've a lot of us have had to let go of expectations, and we know that big change is coming, but what is it? So many people know it's coming, but where's
right,
it going?
Right, exactly.
And there's a big, strong thing with this particular planet in Sag, and right now, to be here now, to really experience our evolution rather than calculate an end result of what that means. a lot of karma sorting that's been going on, a lot of reviewing our old patterns, our old behavior patterns, our old behavior patterns with people. And now we're, as it starts stations to go direct, we're now ready to implement some of what we've been learning and reviewing.
Okay.
And we're having authority in the area we've been trying to escape.
We've been trying to escape. Interesting.
So, yeah, facing fears one step at a time. You know, people have been somewhat more withdrawn, you know, and now we're going to be able to move forward. So
yeah.
I can go through the signs really fast.
Please.
Okay. So Saturn's been in the ninth house for Aries. The ninth house is the house of different philosophies and viewpoints. It's where we learn and expand through travel and contact with things foreign to ourselves, and where we have a sense of faith and knowingness. So as it goes forward, the Aries should be seeing, you know, some movement in this lesson they've been learning for a couple of years here about new belief systems. They might be able to travel now, or if they've had some conflict with it, they still might have a little, you know, conflict with that, but the expansion of their new philosophy or belief system should be able to take hold of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. It's been in the eighth house for Taurus, which is a deep placement. Saturn in the eighth house is kind of intense because you have this taskmaster with the planet of power and control and deep merge. So issues of letting go, issues of maybe having to let go of some partnerships, and intimacy issues have been up for this group of people. And so as it moves forward, there will be progress in this department, you know, for Taurus to merge in appropriate ways. And most of them have had some hard tests and whatever relationships last are meant to last that will be transforming in terms of opening up to intimacy.
Okay.
It's been in the seventh house for Gemini, which just has been getting Gemini a little bit more serious, which is adorable for Gemini.
I'm a Gemini. Yes, I've been feeling pretty serious.
You cute grand, curious, light folk. I just need you a little more serious in the relationship department, you know? What do you want? What's the balance between give and take? And a little more circumspect about who you're partnering with and what you're committing
to. I've had a lot of thoughts about that. Yeah, give and take and what feels balanced, what doesn't. Interesting.
Right. And you know, it's a nice placement. Some will just freak out about how they've been partnering during this, you know, 2.5 years or so transit. And some could actually get married because you get serious about the partnering, you know. But you should be able to see some forward movement on this, okay?
Good.
For Cancer, it's been in the sixth house, about time management, your routine, your health. You know, it's been about getting better routines that make you more productive and more authentic. Some Cancers have had health issues or have needed to change a diet or lifestyle. Again, it's the, where you get limited and the taskmaster comes in, but then you get control over that area. So, again, there should be progress if there's been, you know, hold up, you know, in that area. We're still in the, you know, we're still in the testing of it. It's been on hold somewhat, instead of the step-by-step progress we tend to make with that.
Okay.
For Leo, it's been in the fifth house, which has been a somewhat nicer placement because it was in the fourth for them before. And it just means that they're getting a little more serious, even though they like to have fun, getting a little more serious about the expanses, what, you know, being in love looks like, what creative expression looks like. About romance, so it makes them a little less Leonine, you know, joyful about all that. But at the same time, something could be made, you know, that's permanent. You know, a romance could get serious, or learning, you know, who you want to be with, or something creative you're doing could get structured. You know, there's an analyzing ability, you know, to look at your own talents and get self-love and get real about what you want to create.
Mm-hmm.
For Virgo, it's been in the fourth house of home and hearth and security and nurturing issues. There's a lot of restructuring here. Some Virgos have remodeled or moved or had family issues or upsets in these areas. And all of that, again, is to just change how you structure and view your security and nurturing and then get a better grounded security for years to come. So there should be forward movement for Virgos.
Oh, good. Yeah.
For Libra, it's been in the third house, which has been nice. So it's Libra after being in the second house, which isn't very fun for most people.
Okay.
This is the house of communication and ideas, your neighbors, how you learn, what you speak. It's been interesting because I'm a talker. Usually been called very verbose.
Verbose?
I'm showing my Saturn in the third house. Born on the day of verbal acuity, and I have never been less accurate and it has gotten me more silent than I've ever been. I'm sure some people are laughing, but I've been a lot more serious about what I'm saying and more thoughtful about why and what I want to communicate, and it has made me much more serious about writing projects. I'm always writing, and so for Libras, there can be forward movement on it, and hopefully a little less in being misunderstood, and some of the lessons of learning how to move forward in my life and other Libras, how to communicate in a more effective manner, can continue on the step-by-step restructuring.
And you're a Libra. You're a Libra sun.
I'm a Libra sun. I am. And if someone had told me, even though I'm an astrologer, if someone had told me, you're going to get very circumspect about how you communicate, or you may be around some people who are wondering just exactly what the hell you are saying, I could have said, that's not possible. and it actually has occurred. So that's Saturn. You're going to restructure how you communicate.
Yeah.
Become an authority figure in a different way, in this area of my life. Another Libra. Scorpio has the one that doesn't always feel very fun. Scorpio's had Saturn in the second house. That's a house of finances, your values, your skills, how you personally earn. So for many Scorpios, finances have felt tight, or there's a restriction, tightening up the belt, but reining in, maybe some worry about, security and money, and more of a save and, look toward your future. But what you do work on will yield results in the future. It's a time when people really think about, the wealth management later. It might feel like they can't expand the way they want to, but they have to take measured steps, with their finances.
Yeah.
But also about their skills, really thinking about their skills or what they value, going through a change. For Sagittarius, it's been in the first house. Who are you? What are you?
Getting identity.
Really realistic. Yes. Getting realistic about yourself, your image, Maybe going through some tests and limits on hearing, not hearing as much that you're wonderful as you are, and having to self-affirm. But this strengthens your identity and really opens up a new chapter for the Sagittarius and who they are, And if they work on that, self-affirmation for themselves really can yield a new chapter of self.
Oh, that's cool.
And,
for them.
Yeah, it is. It is cool when it's in your first house. And Capricorn, it's in the 12th house. This is the murky, ineffable house.
The unconscious.
Yep. House of where you and I work very often. House of this TV show or TV show. See there. Maybe you're going to have a TV show.
I would love to.
Yeah, you might, since I'm in the clairvoyant house.
Yes.
Have been clearing out their closets literatively. See, that's my verbal acuity right now.
Oh, I love that, Amadeus. That's a great word you just made.
Yeah, I just made it. I'm gonna have to make a T-shirt with that. karma clear outs. It might feel a little heavy for Capricorns lately. Psychologically heavy. What you've been hiding from yourself might show up. Your demons that you feel that you have, fears, facing them, getting quiet, endings, decluttering the soul, so that when they go into the first house, life is going to be a lot lighter and new identities can be built.
Mm-hmm.
And for Pisces, it's in the 11th house, the house of long-term goals and groups and friends. So for some Pisces, people have been leaving their life or the groups they've been in, just they're changing and there's a need for that, So some goals might have gotten lost, dreams got lost in the wash, but it's a time for getting pragmatic about new dreams, new long-term goals, maybe humanitarian concerns,
That's
more
great.
Important. Yeah, it's a great one. And just for Pisceans to be open to new groups of people and new influences that will take them toward, the new chapter. And lastly, for Aquarius, Pisces. Why did I do Pisces next? I don't know why I did that.
No, but it's okay.
Yeah,
you're going in the order.
Yeah.
Or maybe I just messed up my whole thing. Yeah. And then in the I'm like, wow. Yeah, I'm out in the ether right now. And then in the 10th house, you know, that's the focus on career and your placement in the world. That is literally, that is for the Pisceans. I messed it up somehow. And getting serious about, you know, what goals you're climbing toward and standing in your world and what you are looking like out in public. You get rewarded for hard work you've done, you know, and sometimes have a comeuppance about what you might not have been taking care of in terms of career and what your goals are out in the world. So, yeah, okay. I have no idea why I switched those two around, but... I will
It's okay. We can go with that, and it worked.
Yeah, that's my Libra. I'm telling you, that's my Saturn. I was just giving a very patent example of the miscommunication going on with my Saturn in the third house.
I'm wondering, it sounds like you've been doing, when we were speaking last night, like a lot of sessions, a lot of work, and you spoke about communicating with the dead, which I'm interested to hear more about. Do you think this is a particular time that that is just coming up more, or has this been consistent in your practice, a trend?
Mm-hmm. I think, great question, by the way, great question. I think that it is definitely coming up more as a whole for everyone. I've been running around saying, the veil is thin. And during different time periods over the last 15 years, I would say that. And what I've meant by that is that there's less interference between the different dimensions, the best way I could put it, you know, almost like at Halloween, a certain time period. But this has been a very consistent time period as far as I can track. Over the last few months of the veil seeming thinner. And because I work in this realm, and it is a discipline, I felt like I wanted to say something about that, you know, if I can. You know, people, I don't always advertise that I communicate with deceased folk, but it is a discipline to open up to that frequency. I don't think just like psychic things or astrology that... that is unique to myself. I just think that I've tuned into that channel. When you get disciplined in that channel, it allows you to receive more information. So with the veil being thinner, in my opinion, and then my tuning into that channel, it's just been crazy. It's been crazy. Almost every single astrology client or appointment I've had has turned into a communication from a deceased relative in the middle of it, whether they want, you know, they wanted it or not. You know?
That is so interesting.
Most haven't even been aware, you know, that I do that. I've had it with friends. If any of them are listening, they're going to laugh. I know they believe me that I do that, but it's kind of crazy when you're telling a friend that you're in the shower and, you know, you know nothing about their, you know, ethnicity or anything, and you're going on and on about some relative. So, I thought a lot about this. Why is this happening so much? And, down to, like, having 15 different people in a day. I mean, people I don't know. You know, people just in restaurants. And I just think that it's a time, this pendulum swing, this polarity that I talked about, I'm sure the last two times, you know, this very divisive time we're living in, this very black, white, external world, I believe it really is all happening to get us more unified. And as this is happening, I feel like it has opened up the veil to other realms because spirits from the other realms want to communicate some stuff.
Yeah.
But what's been really interesting to me in the last, I guess it's been about 2 weeks. So I thought, you know, it's been happening the last 2 weeks, I should talk about that. And almost entirely within the last 2 weeks, and this is people I don't know, clients, I have no idea who they are, friends, out of the blue, you know, never asking me to do this. Almost everybody coming through in the last 2 weeks has been a great-great-grandparent or a great-great-uncle. I don't know if I had a great-great-aunt. I mean, just slews of them. So I thought about, well, what does that mean? When were they born? What was going on in history? That, you know, I can't say my day job. They're all my day and night jobs. I write. I've always been a writer, and I call it clairvoyant artist because I've always channeled basically, characters that's how I got into some of this. And I don't know if I talked about that last time, but I can circle back in a minute on that. But I've channeled a lot of historical characters and written things on that. So, you know, I thought about, well, why are all these people coming through, though, these relatives? You know, and I delineated that the time period is mostly between 1880 and 1900 that they were born. And, you know, that's the time period in different countries, too, by the way. Here, you know, Africa, the Middle East, Spain, Germany, and here. So it's all over. It's not just the United States, these relatives. But, you know, that was the time of the Gilded Age. That was the time of extreme wealth with extreme corruption and, you know, unrest. You know, it was a time when Theodore Roosevelt wrote, you know, in a letter, in strict confidence, he thought we should welcome a war just because the country needs one, you know. Mm-hmm. And when there was a large stream of immigration into this country, you know, mostly of Italians and Jews and Russians and Greeks and Eastern Europeans and Chinese, and a lot of racism coming in, you know. And so we're seeing some of that now, you know, in terms of jobs and this pendulum swing. And a lot of extreme wealth with a lot of poverty and what we're, you know, unveiling some corruption.
And a lot of extreme things happening with all the shootings and just the climate is extreme, for lack of a more eloquent word.
Yeah, no, I think that actually that word works well. And, you know, there was a lot of, you know, I mean, there always has been, there were a lot of extreme things during that time period. Here we had Wounded Knee, you know, the horrendous Native American massacre. And, you know, and just the treatment of the Chinese with the railroad and just all kinds of crazy stuff going on. And so I feel like these particular people are coming through to give my clients some insight into how to authenticate themselves and be brave enough to create a new world, because that was a time when people were really, really being brave and creating a new world, you know?
Yes.
You know, people were leaving their homelands. People were, you know, trying, you know, there was spiritism going on. People were contacting with a huge time of, you know, this kind of thing I do now. You know, late Victorian time, you know, saw, you know, Arthur Conan Doyle, I don't know, you know, with Sherlock Holmes, you know, and all those people were into spiritism and, you know, clairvoyance and things like that. But it was also a time when people were trying to, you know, come from their heart and have a better life, you know, whether that meant moving somewhere, you know, or standing up for civil rights or, you know, the labor movement. Mm-hmm. And standing up against racism, classism. So also something interesting I was thinking about during that time was that there was a lot of collapsing of time and structures of time and space because of the telegraph, the telephone, you know, came during that time.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In the railroad. So now people were connecting on a grand scale. So their synapses were firing faster. You know, their education about other people was you know, accelerating at a large rate. And I wrote sort of, we were hardwiring, you know, outside as we were within, you know, to zip faster. And I feel like that's going on now, too. So all of that goes into this DNA upgrade, this way that all of us are becoming more crystalline. There are other layers, there are other veils, there are other places of communication for all of us to investigate and be in. And I think I mentioned, I hope this isn't going all over the place, but...
No, this is good.
I think I mentioned last time that, you know, science, I wish if everybody could see me, I'm doing the quotation in the air, Mark.
Air science. Quotes.
Yeah, air quote. Quicker way to say it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing an air quote that science has discovered, you know, that there's this ninth planet, though we haven't seen it yet. You know, the invisible is becoming real is a way to say it. I actually wanted to look up some of the quotes, you know, from National Geographic. And, you know, it's like, we have tantalizing evidence that a ninth large planet might live in our solar system, though the world hasn't yet been detected.
Interesting. So we know it's there.
Right. And another quote, we've discovered the planet's existence through mathematical modeling and computer simulations, but have not yet observed the object directly. So as this idea comes into the, right, as it comes into consciousness, this is why I feel the veil of talking to deceased ones, to pets, to having higher knowing, intuitions, people having wild, far-out dreams, and then saying, you know, it was kind of real. This is why I feel that the veil is, you know, thinner and that I'm able to communicate with more people, or at least they're just shouting to come in and talk.
Yeah. How are your clients receiving the information that you said it's often been, it's not what they planned for? How are they receiving the messages coming through to them from deceased loved ones in your sessions?
That's such a good question. They're actually receiving it well. You know, it's an interesting thing for me to step out into. I've been on your show, this was my third time, so I don't need to go in my, you know, back into my whole prior history of how I got here. But, you know,
it's
I really
okay.
came from a heart. Okay. Well, I come from a family that, you know, did not believe in anything like this. I'm probably the least likely person that would be sitting here saying I talk to dead people. There's not a person that I can think of in my family that believes in angels or God.
Yeah, they were psychologists, scientists, like.
Hard scientists,
Yeah, science-based people.
Right. So, and yet, you know, here I am, you know, in the middle of an astrology reading, just saying things like, you know, who is Marilyn? And it's your, you know, I think it's your, you know, grandmother. I'm like, what? because the energy is so strong that it wants to supersede actually, you know, my astrology reading. But what I was going to say is that, everybody's received it well. It's just, it's been kind of wild, though, watching someone, you know, that's not expecting it. You know, I'll ask, you know, is it okay if I say this? And everybody says yes. But watching somebody's sort of reasonable listening, as if I'm giving a lecture, you know, in mathematics about their astrology chart, turn to something that, in the look in their eyes turning to something more personal, being seen in a different way now.
Yes.
It's compelling. You know, it's compelling for me to say something that I have no idea about, and I'm just tracking information, you know. And again, I say to everybody, this is, you know, everyone can tune into these things, and it did sound far out. You know, everything sounds far out at first, you know. Everything that you do, you know. I mean, I remember when Reiki wasn't, it was the forbidden knowledge. You couldn't even get a class because it wasn't allowed, so, you know, it wasn't real. And, you know, that's made its way into the mainstream, and, you know, I could go on and on. So, yeah, they've been receiving it well, and it's just another set of information, you know. I just think we're all right to evolve. I really do. I think it's a time of immense evolution, whatever that means to it, physically,
and
DNA.
And growth. Yeah, and expansion.
And growth. Mm-hmm.
In my practice, just last week, I've had two mediums come to me for psychotherapy and you know, just really amazing experiences they're having, channeling information for some of their clients and just wanting to, you know, make sure that they're in alignment with, you know, some past things they've experienced and wanting to be as healthy as they can in order to do this work for others, which I think is so important to take care of ourselves and resolve, you know, unfinished business that we have, as we all have it, especially being in the healing profession. So I've noticed an influx of you know, really highly intuitive and particularly mediums just in the last week.
Wow. Maybe that's why I am. you're calling us.
Maybe so. So it sounds like you're comfortable with it. It sounds like you're just going with what comes up in the sessions with your clients.
Yeah, I am. It's such good questions, you. I am comfortable with it, and that is a good question. I think if I had just used my brain about it and went into fear, as we discussed, and family karma or whatever you want to call it, I wouldn't have been comfortable because it's, you know, I can be very pragmatic and very 3D as I call it. But
3D,
really,
right.
It's just the most. But it's so natural, and it's always been there. And I actually thought it's funny you mentioned mediums, because I thought, well, where was the first time that I really got shaken up about this? And I had to text a friend really fast. So I might have said this last time, but quickly I want to say it. I think I'm
supposed
to.
Yeah, say it.
I don't know. so many years ago, in the 1990-something, late 1990-something, I had two friends, two different times that they had a deceased relative, and they both of them grew up Catholic and believed in talking to spirits on the other side. They were afraid to go, though, and I had no belief system in it. And I wouldn't have said it wasn't true, but I certainly had never experienced it, nor would ever have considered it. And so I went, and I was in the room, and all these people paid. It was at the Bodhi Tree, if anybody remembers, this one time in particular.
I've heard of Bodhi Tree that was open.
It was amazing. And so, you know, I was in a room of like 50 people holding the hands of, you know, friends, these two friends on either side of me, and this woman just gets in my face and, you know, just keeps saying, you know, who's got, you know, a relative named Robert, and, you know, I mean, I was going, no, even though my father, my grandfather, I'm not into that, you know, so it's not me, because I'm not here. She just keeps getting in my face. I just always remember she was barefoot and just really powerful, and I'm slinking in my chair, and she keeps saying, it's right here, you know. And I'm slinking. And then she said, she just mentioned how my grandfather died in a way that no one can know, you know, your classic thing. And then, you know, I finally had to admit, well, it's me, because it was just so over the top me.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, a non-believing relative, not even one I was that close to. And she just yelled at me that he was saying, you know, you better start writing out all the characters and all the people, you know, in your head, or you're going to get sick again. You know, in those days, I was still recovering from a long illness.
Yes.
And that was the first spark of that idea. Now, I've done it creatively, and that was a little more comfortable at first, but really, honestly, half of what I've done creatively with Civil War characters and things, I will find that they truly existed. And it's been spooky, cool. You know?
Yeah.
So, and in that medium, I forgot her name, and I just want to mention it because I feel like I'm supposed to. Her name is Hollister Rand, and she's a pretty well-known medium. And she really just, she was that kick in the butt, you know? You know, just yelling at, you know, never. And I was the only person she really talked to that entire thing, you know, and I wasn't looking for that. So let's just say it's been a journey of getting comfortable with what was already there, but actually doing it. It actually makes my life easier because it's there, you know?
I like that people thought, being comfortable with what is already there. That makes a lot of sense. You're welcome.
Yeah.
We have about another minute, Amadea. Okay. So I want people to know, listening, how they can reach you for sessions, and what are your parting thoughts for us?
Oh, I love that. I can be reached at, I have a website that I need to make sure is up and running. I'm sure it is. And
it is.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
I am amadeas.com.
AmaDaeS, correct?
DaeS, yeah. I think the other spelling I also have that everyone knows, like Mozart, I think both go to it. And I can be contacted there, and for appointments, I can do them. I have a space in Santa Monica where I'm doing it. I have a space a little more north out in the Westlake Thousand Oaks area, and I also do by phone. And my parting words for everyone are, I feel so joyful today for everyone. I know there's a lot that everyone's going through. I know people are really distressed about some of the stuff going on externally in our world, but I would encourage everybody to embrace that sort of crazy polarity going on. The change is really happening. I just really think this next year is going to be a great year for a lot of people. This next year, when Jupiter goes into Libra.
Yeah, I feel that too.
And next year. Yeah, and I just really feel that people are getting back in touch, revamping dreams and goals, and making new ones that are really more authentically their truth. And I just feel like we're all rising up together to do that. So I encourage everyone to do that thing you really, 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 really want to do. I mean, really want to do, deep down in there.
Yes.
You know, let the light shine on it right now. Let those meteor showers might shine on the thing that you really, you know, like when you peel back all the layers, that one.
That you really want. Thank you for talking to us today about the Lion's Gate portal and the meteor showers and just everything. And we're going to schedule to have you come back on in November, closer to the holidays.
Yay. I can't wait.
Thank you, Amadeus. You are very welcome.
You have a
I'll
beautiful
talk to
day.
You soon. Thank you. You too. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That concludes our show for today. Join me here next week as I speak to Dr. Craig Martin. He is founder of the Los Angeles Astrology School, where I am in astrology school currently. He's an amazing gentleman, wonderful teacher, and he's also a holistic health practitioner. So listen in, same time next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir.